Next man up, 102.5, the game, second hour on this Tuesday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee, plumbing, heating, and air conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Lots to get to. Again, the Preds eliminated from playoff contention last night, falling 3-2 to the Sharks. The Kings beat the Kraken to officially knock the Preds out of playoff contention for the second straight year. We'll get back into the Preds coming up in a little bit. We will continue talking draft here in the 10 a.m. hour. Just got into Sonny Styles and a little bit of Jeremiah Love, but I want to really dive in on Love here, who right now still the favorite to be the Titans pick at number 4 by most of the odds. And I was looking at this article yesterday. ESPN, Matt Bowen, put out the NFL draft superlatives, and I thought it was only 50. It's 100 different skills and traits. So, you know, Fernando Mendoza, for example, he's the number one quarterback. But they go through all of the different traits of a quarterback. Like Drew Aller has the strongest arm. Ty Simpson has the best passing mechanics, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, I went straight to running back because I wanted to see, all right, what does Matt Bowen and these draft analysts think that Jeremiah Love does the best in this class? He's supposed to be this Saquon Barkley level, Ashton Jeanty, Leonard Fournette level running back. What does he do the best in this class? And I was really impressed with what I saw. Again, this isn't, maybe not every evaluator agrees with this, but here is where Jeremiah Love was named the best in this draft class. The most explosive rusher. So there we go. We just talked about guys who need to be able to score from anywhere on the field. Jeremiah Love, 4.36 speed. He had 18 touchdowns last season. He is also the most sudden rusher, the stop-start ability to make defenders miss. So it's a pretty good mix right there, being able to make defenders miss and get away from them. But here are the two that made me think, all right, I think the Titans might have to take him at number 4 if David Bailey is gone. Because I still think Bailey, if he's not getting to 4. If he got to 4, I think you'd have to take him. But if not, I think it's Jeremiah Love because he's also the best receiving back and the best pass protecting back in this draft class, according to ESPN. So you're getting a guy who is the best runner, the best receiver, the best pass blocker. A lot of these running backs, you're missing one element of it, right? Like with Derrick Henry specifically, elite runner. He was a pretty good pass protector. He wasn't great in the receiving game, right? Like you could set screens up for him and he could make a big play, but it wasn't like he was a super big threat in the receiving game. Most guys struggle with one thing or the other. Jeremiah Love, I mean, receiving back, he had 55 receptions and 5 touchdowns in the receiving game over the last 2 seasons. They compare him to Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson and his ability to make plays in the running and passing game and also pass protecting. The stat here is 109 pass blocking reps over the last 2 seasons. He allowed just 1 pressure.
It's pretty good. Pretty darn good.
And if you know, obviously you got to shore up the offensive line. You do. But having Jeremiah Love, who can not only help you open things up with a running game, be a safety valve for Cam Ward in the receiving game, but also if you have to keep guys in protection, you feel good about Jeremiah Love being able to pick up blitzes. Like that makes me feel a whole lot better about taking him at number 4 because he is a complete back. There aren't going to be major holes in his game.
Yeah, and we saw last season watching the Titans that when there wasn't that running back pass block support, even if it was like a chip block or something like that, it just ruined the entire play. So the fact that if you go and grab Jeremiah Love, he ends up, you know, giving a nice little hand punch to somebody off the left side of the line. If Dan Moore Jr. struggling one day, that opens up to a screen play that gives Cam Ward an extra 2, maybe 3 seconds in the pocket. So that's kind of what they need going forward with this offense to develop into something even better. That's why when people like Jeff Fisher and so forth that bring up on these airwaves saying that get a running back that can help your quarterback develop, that's a aspect of the game where he can help him develop through his read progressions and just give him time to really dissect the play.
I just think there's too many reasons for Jeremiah Love to be the pick at number 4. And I've said it throughout the draft process here that all of the prospects at the top of this draft have red flags, right? Like there is a reason not to draft everybody at number 4. I like David Bailey just because I think among the pass rushers, the premium position players, his red flag is the smallest. You're a little worried about the bend, the mobility. That's pretty much it. But like Arvell Reese, he's a He's moving positions. Reuben Bain, the arm length. I look at Jeremiah Love, the only red flag you have on him is that he plays running back. Like, that is it. There is no red flag about character. There is no red flag about his playing ability. It is literally just, do you value running back enough to take him at number four? I've seen a lot of different analysts, draft experts, have him as the best player in the draft. And when you don't have a blue chip guy at a premium position, I think you got to just take the guy that you feel is going to be the most surefire Pro Bowl level player for your team, and I think that's Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, 100%. Would you say back, I think it was the end of the 24 season, maybe 25, when Love was wearing that knee brace with the left knee? Would you say that's a concern at all or not?
Not
we're
really
too far removed from that.
Right, like he didn't miss a ton of time, and it's like the one thing I feel really good about with Love is that I feel like there's more growth to be had. He didn't have to take on the lion's share of the carries at Notre Dame, which some people may look at it and say, all right, when he starts to get more tread on the tires throughout the season, is the production going to drop off? I would just say I feel better about his long-term viability because he's not Ashton Jeanty, who had almost 900 touches in college. He had almost half of that. And like that makes me feel better about Jeremiah Love. You're not just drafting a running back for one contract. You're hopefully drafting him for 7-8 years like you got out of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, because if you get that production, then again, you're setting your franchise up for something even better, because then that comes back to your point about wide receivers, how this franchise has not done a really good job at drafting those wide receivers.
Yeah.
If you keep a guy like Jeremiah Love for 7-8 seasons and Cam Ward for even longer than that while consistently grabbing a good core of an offensive line, that puts you in the position to grab a decent wide receiver to pair with those players.
Titans need offensive weapons. Talking with Parker yesterday, we both agreed that this offseason, I think the offense has gotten worse around Cam Ward. You add Wandale Robinson, but that's about it weapons-wise. I would say Bellinger, he's a worse receiver than Chig, but he's probably a better blocker. So
blocking type.
You're betting more in that move on Gunnar Helm than you are on Daniel Bellinger, right? Like, you're saying Gunnar Helm is going to get more targets with Chig out of the equation. But the offensive line has objectively gotten worse. So I think that the offense has gotten worse around Cam Ward. You've got to help the young quarterback. And I think of the options that you expect to be there at four, Jeremiah Love is going to be the best option.
Yeah. Because, again, you mentioned offensive line. It'll help out with the run support. I mean, not run support, the pass block. I mean, that's going to be the biggest downfall of this team, because we all know what Cam Ward can do in the pocket. If he doesn't have the time, there's not going to be much production.
Right.
Simple as that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can chime in, join the conversation on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And as always, all of our offseason coverage is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks, the official craft beer of the football offseason on ESPN 1025 The Game. 615-737-1025. We'll get into some of the defensive superlatives. And also, there's a wide receiver that maybe not my favorite option at 35, but I think I'm coming around on him if he is available for the Titans in the second round. We'll get into that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Preds fans, tonight is the final Smashville Live of the season. 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 p.m. Meet your Predators players up close and personal and also get autographs and pictures. Tonight's guests will be Preds players Fedor Svechkov and Joachim Kimmel. Smashville Live is presented by Gary Force Acura. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Talking Titans into the draft, the ESPN draft superlatives. We'll get into some more players listed in this article, but first let's go to our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Gil from California has called in. Gil, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing out there in Tennessee?
We're doing great. How's California?
Oh, the weather's great. Nice sunny day. I can't complain. But what I was going to say is I just think that the Titans right now, it's time to they got to be not talk about it and be about it. And they were saying they want to build us up from the trenches. And I think that, you know, if we do go Jeremiah Love, I think we have to go with a guard in the second round. And then we have to find our center, considering that we can get maybe the best center in college football. And I think we still need to re-sign Zeitler. And we can finish our defense on a one-year fix with a guy like Bosa or Cam Jordan or Javon Clowney just on a one-year as a situational edge rusher. And I'm willing to go Jeremiah Love, but I think they really have to build from the trenches. And I just hope that they do it, considering our offensive line has been in a downward spiral for the last 4 to 5 years. And the most they did last year was get Dan Moore, and he's average at best.
Now, and it's a good point that if you draft Jeremiah Love, you're investing in the run game, and the run game revolves around a good offensive line. I wouldn't love it, but I wouldn't be shocked if they go Love, if they went guard in the second. And I think the reason I don't love it is just because of all the investment they've put in the offensive line in the last half decade. But I get, it's a sunk cost at this point. You got to get it fixed. So I would totally understand it if that was the way Borgonzi went.
Yeah, because they've always wanted to, you know, bite the bullet and just put a Band-Aid on everything every single year. At some point, the Band-Aid's going to no longer have that stick ability to stay on the skin. You got to put a patch on it.
Right. It's like, I can be upset all I want about wasting three top 100 picks on Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Raidens, and Nicholas Petit-Frere. Like, I can continue to be upset that cost you the ability to draft Brock Bowers or Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But at this point, it doesn't matter. Those guys are not on your team. It's a sunk cost. And I get what Gil is saying, that, like, you can't really run it. I don't think you can run out there with Jackson Slater and Cordell Volson as your center and right guard, or put in Austin Sloatman. I think you need to invest in the offensive line. I don't know if I'd go second round. I think you go it if you're gonna go guard or center on day two. Love, pass rusher, offensive lineman, I think would be the way I would do it. So you go Love at four, you go Malachi Lawrence out of UCF at 35, and you go, I don't know, Jake Slaughter at 66, like, just to throw names at the wall. I would feel okay about that, because I think you do address the weapons need with Jeremiah Love, and wide receiver maybe isn't quite as desperate of a need at that point.
Yeah, it's not a need until next season. We'll get to that another time. We know that. No, it's not needed right now. I could see Titans going after like an inside or an interior offensive line, like a center or a guard. I don't know about third, maybe like fourth or fifth. I just don't think spending, you know, a top three round player on an offensive lineman, I don't think is the right move.
Well, it's just the longer you wait, the less sure you are that they're going to be able to help you immediately.
That's
and
fair.
You probably do need immediate help. Volson is the wild card in this for me, because he has started close to 50 games. Like, he was a fine starter at guard for the Bengals, but he didn't play all last year. He signed a $2.5 million deal. Like, that doesn't scream to me that's our starting right guard. I think he's a backup plan, and maybe if you get it, a lot of it is best player available, right? Once you get past the first round, if you're sitting there at 35, you're not going to reach on a guard just because you need a guard. Same thing at 66. And I think Volson and Sloatman are kind of your safety nets just in case the board doesn't fall your way. Zeitler could probably be included in that as well, of like, hey, if you don't get a guard that you find value in the draft, Zeitler's still out there to possibly bring back on a one-year deal. But I do think they are going to invest in the offensive line. Second round might be a little bit expensive for me, but I could see it in the third or fourth.
Yeah, fourth, I'm thinking more in that realm, because, again, and I've stressed it to you multiple times. I stress it, but just talked about it a little bit, about how the Titans have, I think, the most cap in the NFL right now, like 63, 61. According to Over the Cap, it's exactly, I don't want that pop up, $63.1 million. So, I mean, you look at that and you say, if you got the resources to do it, go and grab some vets in free agency that are usable for this year. Like you mentioned with Zeitler on a one-year deal. Like, what do you think about Joel Bitonio? Like what do you think about that? Like, I know his projected market value is like $12 million on, you know.
Well, he's not getting that at this point.
No, absolutely not. But, yeah, you could probably negotiate something to where there's more of an incentivized contract if it's up in the $9 million range. You incentivize majority of that, and you try to figure things out.
I don't know why on SpotTrack all of the players are listed twice, but I'm looking at the free agent guards available. There are guys that you could look at and say, all right, that that might be better than what we have. Zeitler is an example. James Daniels from Miami, he's 28. Mekhi Becton, obviously a bust for where he was picked in the draft and was expected to be a tackle, but maybe that's a project you could bring in at guard. Betonio, you mentioned. So there are options out there. Cordell Volson is listed as a free agent on SpotTrack.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Well, then you click on his name and he's listed as a Titan. So little
maybe why there's a lot of double names.
Couple glitches on there at SpotTrack. But anyway, yes, I do think that the Titans, they are prepared to add at guard with a veteran if they need to, but I think they would like to bring in a young player. And I think they'd like Jackson Slater to start at one of the spots, right? So I think you maybe draft one and you have Slater start at the other. And it's a high-risk, high-reward offensive line there. Skoronski you feel good about, but that right side of the line could be Slater, draft pick, Latham. If it works out, you've got the core of your offensive line for a long time set in place. If it doesn't work out, Cam Ward might be on his back a lot.
And also, too, let's not forget about it. Hypothetically, if they were to draft Jeremiah Love, that guy can't be your extension to the offensive line. Let's put that straight up. Like, we know he's a decent pass blocker, but you can't rely on him every single time if you don't solidify your offensive line.
Right, yeah. You can't just say, all right, we drafted Jeremiah Love. He's a good pass blocker. Get ready to play guard, Jeremiah. Like, that's not how that works, but it is nice to know if the defense sends more than the offensive line can pick up, that Jeremiah Love is a sure-handed pass blocker behind them.
Right. He's a good safety blanket. But again, that's why it's so key on the Titans to get this offensive line situation just signed, sealed, and delivered by the end of the draft and or a week and a half after the draft.
How many years in a row have we said that?
I mean, it needs to be done, though. This is a new era of Titans football. Yeah. It has to be done.
It does. They've got to figure it out. I did want to mention one more player on the offensive side of the ball. The best red zone target by this ESPN article is Denzel Boston from Washington. And I've seen he's been borderline first-round pick. I think for a while he was viewed as wide receiver 4 behind that big three of Tate, Tyson, Lemon. I think he's maybe slid behind Omar Cooper Jr. He's in that second round range. If you go Love, maybe you don't go wide receiver at 35, but we talk about guys who can score touchdowns. Denzel Boston would be one of those guys who it's like, hey, you get down in the red area, Cam Ward can throw it up and Denzel Boston could go make a play. They talk in the article about he can create separation on slants, but it's the fade routes that highlight his strength. Having a player that your quarterback can just, hey, single coverage, one-on-one, I'm throwing it up, go make a play on the ball, that is really valuable for a young quarterback. So it may not make sense for the Titans, but I do like Denzel Boston at 35 if he's there too.
Yeah, I was listening to Get Up this morning, and they were talking about just potential wide receivers that would go in the first or second round, and they were saying Denzel Boston is probably the most consistent prospect out of all three of those that doesn't have a lot of baggage with them and or concerns. So, I mean, yeah, if Boston's a guy there, then might as well snag him.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on the Worcester Red Sox at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35, and you can catch all of the action on Sports Talk 830, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. We will wrap up our draft superlatives conversation when we come back. A couple of local players made the list. Also, we'll look on the defensive side of the ball and continue with our conversation as the draft comes up in just 9 days. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Talking NFL draft as we are just over a week away. I can't wait. Will you be partaking in our draft day rewatch next week?
I think I will, yeah.
I'm trying to get the entire station in on it to rewatch draft day next week. It's a tradition unlike any other.
And it's the day before the draft.
Day before the draft, Wednesday night, you watch it, and then you wake up Thursday morning in draft mode. You're ready to go.
Yeah, I'll get on board.
All right, I love it. I'm ready. We established yesterday that Parker has written on a sticky note, Jeremiah Love, no matter what.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that on your mirror in your room, or is that just in the office here?
Let's send it. Let's do it.
See, I am still, if David Bailey somehow slips through, you know, Laramie Tunsil style, just falls to 4, take him.
It's not even a sticky note at this point. Like, I've tattooed it
stone
on my chest.
Yeah, there,
like,
you go.
You know, so.
No regrets, Jeremiah Love. I'm still, if David Bailey is there, take him. But I think beyond that, once Goodell reads David Bailey to the Jets at two, I'll write it on the sticky note. Give me Jeremiah Love.
Oh, man. To hear those words out of Goodell's mouth when and if it does happen, I will be very happy. Very, very happy.
Well, speaking of David Bailey, we're wrapping up our conversation on these superlatives. I did want to mention some of the defensive side of the ball and players that we've talked about who maybe could be in play for the Titans at four at 35. At 35, I mentioned Malachi Lawrence from UCF, the defensive end. Fastest closing speed to the quarterback. He had 7 sacks and 31 pressures last year. Ran a 4.52 40 time. I wouldn't mind that. Like, pure speed rusher off the edge. You've got Jermaine Johnson, who's a little bit bigger on the other side. I wouldn't mind a little bit of speed off the other edge. So maybe that's an option. But if you want to go bigger, like, you've got Derek Moore, who is listed as best speed to power. That could be a later, like, third, fourth round pick. The guys at the top of the draft, Arvell Reese is listed as the most explosive pass rusher. Reuben Bain is the most physical and has the best hand usage. David Bailey is given the superlative for best pass rush moves. So you're kind of getting a different flavor with all three of those guys at the top of the draft.
Quick thought on Reuben Bain. Obviously the news of with the whole off-the-field antics with the driving and all that. How much of that you think it will affect his draft stock? Because they've said online that it's been out there for quite some time now with this news, but like, do you think now because the draft is around the corner, this may affect him a little bit?
I think, like, to the public, it's going to look like it affected his draft stock, but a draft stock is just what we make up based on what we're talking about at a given time of year. If the teams have known about it for a while, which is what they've all said, like, it was Brad Holmes of the Lions, like, that doesn't really affect much for us. We've known about this for months. I don't think it's going to be what affects him falling, but I think he is going to fall.
Interesting.
I think he is probably an early teens pick.
Ooh, the teens. Okay. I was thinking more of like near the Saints around like 8 or 9.
And there's a chance that somebody does, but I do think that maybe, and here's maybe a better way of framing it, teams may use the off-the-field stuff as an excuse when really they're scared of the arms, right?
Sure.
Like, and so maybe that combined with him being an outlier is what sends him down draft boards. It wouldn't shock me if somebody like the Chiefs or maybe the Saints or the Bengals at 10, if they took him. I think the Cowboys might be a team that would take Reuben Bain at 12. But who knows? Again, the draft is one of the most unpredictable events of the year. It's like you think you have an idea of where everybody's going, and then it always changes on draft night. So
yeah. Even Jordan Schultz said last week on Twitter that like this is gonna be one of the more trade heavy first rounds in a while.
Yeah. And you know, with Bain and Jordan Tyson and Jermaud McCoy, like there are a lot of talented players who have some red flags, and it's going to be interesting which teams maybe have them off their board or flipped over on their board of like, hey, we're not going to touch them in the first round, but you know, there's a spot where maybe the value would be there. This draft has a whole lot of question marks going on right now. Quickly, I wanted to mention some of the local players who are on this list. A couple of Vanderbilt superlatives. Diego Pavia, listed as the most creative passer by ESPN. How about that?
I like it. To me, it was funny seeing that he was the most creative passer. I think it was the Arkansas quarterback that was the best scrambler.
Yeah.
So to me, trying to figure out the difference between best scrambler and best creative passer, because to me, watching Pavia, he had to scramble to create that type of pass.
So here's the way I'll put it to you. Like, Cam Ward would be the most creative passer in last year's draft, but
Yeah. Is
he the best scrambler? Like, he wasn't running to run as much. He was running to throw. I think that's more like Diego Pavia is not nearly as fast as some of the best scrambling quarterbacks, but he has the escapability that he can get outside the pocket and make plays.
That's fair. Yeah.
And then also from Vanderbilt, the best seam stretcher is Eli Stowers. Speed, size, up the seam.
I like that.
I think Stowers, talking with Corey Curtis last week, we said like mid-second round is where he's going to go. I would say like 45 to 60 would kind of be the range for Eli Stowers.
The tight end out is what, Oregon or Utah?
Oregon. Sadiq?
Yeah, Sadiq, thank you. How much of a gap do you see out of him to Stowers?
I think Sadiq's a first-round pick. I think he's like a mid-first-round pick. Stowers could go early second round, but I would say like 40 is when I would start to put your Stowers watch on. And it could be anywhere from there to the end of the second round.
Sure.
And then on the Tennessee side, Chris Brazel, best toe tapper, which I like him because of his ability to use his size and speed to make plays down the field. I also like the getting the feet down on the sidelines from Chris Brazel. And then the cornerbacks for Tennessee also made an appearance in here. Colton Hood listed as the most physical in coverage and the best in run support. Jermaine McCoy, best closing speed among DBs.
That's pretty good.
So there you go.
Chris Brazel, toe-drag swag.
Toe-drag swag for Chris Brazel.
As the kids say.
And he's the guy that I'm still standing on the table for. I don't know if it's going to make sense for the Titans to take him, but that's my day two guy that I really like. Let's see. Couple of texts here before we wrap up the draft conversation. 4312, who texted in about Sonny Styles possibly being on the edge. He said, I watched some video flipping from Love to Styles. I think he is a Hall of Famer in the making. He is now the conductor of the Sonny Train. All right, so we've got all the conductors now. Sonny Train doesn't quite roll off the tongue like Love Train or Bane Train, but we'll give it to you, 4312. Nevada Josh says, Yahoo Sports said the Dolphins want to keep Bane in Miami. That could make sense, too. 11, I think, would be a decent landing spot for Reuben Bane.
Yeah, and it's also a safe pick for the Dolphins because when you don't have much going for you on offense, you always go defense, and you can kind of build from there because defense win championships, yeah, as they say.
The Dolphins, they're going to be bad this year. So,
hey, Malik Willis, though, $30 million. He's going to shine. Just watch out for him. My goodness.
I mean, I don't hate them signing Malik Willis. They have no chance to draft a quarterback this year that they think is actually going to be a franchise guy. So why not sign Malik Willis to a low-risk deal for a couple of years and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle? I doubt it, but I don't hate the deal for the Dolphins, especially when you got all that Tua money on the books, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the sign. I just think it's hilarious. It's $30 million.
Right. Like,
you're getting off of a guy that's Tua Tagovailoa, who was $54 million if you kept him, or $45 million if you cut him. Then you signed, you know, Devon Achane. Like, I mean, come on, yeah. You got all these players here. You signed to Buka money, Jaden Waddle. Like, what are you gonna do with all that? And then obviously you move off of Waddle and so forth, all that. But it's just they're in shambles.
Yeah, they've got like 65% of their cap locked up in dead money or Malik Willis. So gonna be tough down there in. Where do they play again? It's not South Beach, like Hollywood, something like that.
Hollywood, Florida, something like that. No, not Hollywood, Florida. It's right next
Miami
to the airport.
Gardens. Miami Gardens. Yeah, there we go.
It's where they have the national championship. What?
Yes.
Hard Rock. Yeah. Wow. Brain is just dead.
South Florida all runs together to me. It's like, all right, Coral Gables, South Beach, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. I just find it interesting, though, you're talking about the Dolphins real quick, that Troy Aikman was a part of the recruiting process of trying to find the next GM. And yet Miami's in primetime TV three times this season. A little interesting.
Yeah.
Just saying. A little interesting.
Yeah. We will the schedule's coming up somewhat quickly, too. I think mid-May is when we're going to get it. So excited for that as well. Ryan in Florida says Levis is a Thursday trade, but who? He's not a Thursday trade. I think at best he's a Friday trade, more likely a Saturday trade. So I really don't think – Levis, I would love to see him go on Friday because that means you're probably moving him to move or using him to move up into the third round, but definitely not Thursday. We will get some more Preds stuff coming up in just a little bit here. I see a couple of Preds texts on the text line. We will wrap up hour number two coming up after this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Wrapping up the second hour of the show. We'll get back into the Preds coming up at the top of the hour. Again, the Preds eliminated from playoff contention last night with a 3-2 loss to the Sharks, paired with the Kings win in Seattle over the Kraken. I've seen some texts on the Preds, and we'll get to some of those coming up at 11. But let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I mean, Trey has been calling in almost every show lately. Trey, good morning. What you got?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Hey, I just want to say that when the news broke out of Malik Willis getting the Miami Dolphins quarterback job, I felt good about it. I like Malik Willis. I like Malik Willis, the fact that, you know, when the ball come off of his hands, it's so beautiful. Have y'all watched this tape?
Have you watched his tape, Trey?
I have, and I'm happy for the young man. I like how that ball come off of his hands. You can't do nothing but catch his balls, and I'm just ecstatic that God bless this man to get that big paycheck. Don't you know after next year he ain't got to throw another football and he can retire for the rest of his life? That's a blessing. I believe, honestly, that he might win 10 games.
Trey,
I believe.
How much money can actually fix someone's mouth with that money that that Malik Willis made? $30 million? That's a lot of teeth to be fixed.
That's a lot of teeth to be fixed, but hey, but I just believe that he's gonna do well down in Miami if they get the right components in place for him, and I believe that he might win 9 or 10 games, you know, and I'm being optimistic about it, but I just love his football. I love his football just like I love Doug Williams football when it came off his hands, Warren Moon football. You know, it's just certain clans. I think the Dolphins see that too. You know, and I think he's going to be a big help for them. And y'all have a good day. Thank y'all. Love you. God bless you.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate the call. You know, 10 wins for Malik Willis, I think, is a stretch. That team around him is not very good, even if he does have a big year. It is a great story, right? Like Malik Willis. Titans fans can be upset all they want. He was never going to be the quarterback here. He never looked like a starting NFL quarterback here. It's a great story to see his development lead to that big contract. I'm rooting for him. I don't think it's going to lead to a whole lot of wins down there in Miami.
No, they don't have a supporting cast for him, unfortunately.
I'm shocked that Trey has sat down and watched the Malik Willis tape.
Yeah.
He said last year that the game against, I think it was the Colts, in Indianapolis was the first game he's watched since the AFC Championship game.
Wow.
So that was pre-Malik Willis being in the league. So
maybe he's going back
maybe
on
he
YouTube. Only,
maybe he watched the Packers games or something like that.
It's a possibility.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go back to our phone lines. Adam in Portland is called in. Adam, thanks for calling. Good morning.
I would really like to do a sports talk show with Trey. I've said it before. I would do it for free. I would do it for free.
We need to have Trey have his own segment.
He's awesome, man. And well, he's dead wrong about Malik, though, dude. Like, I love Malik as the person, just like I love Tim Tebow as a person. But I don't want either of them to start for the Titans. Like, I don't know, man. There's just something that didn't click right. It's like I just always think back to the preseason when Vrabel's like, snatches him out of the game, going, Malik, you got to throw it, man. Stop running it. So something just didn't click right here. I hope he does well, but I just can't see it. Like, I thought it was fool's gold in Green Bay, honestly. But like I said, I say that to say, you know, I want my daughter to marry somebody like Malik. Like, he's the best person. He's got the biggest heart. You see all the, like, you've seen, I'm sure, him giving his gear away to homeless people. Yeah. Like, he's just a good guy. But he's, yeah, but also I wouldn't want him to be my quarterback. Both can exist.
Yeah, oh, 100%. And I think that's a good way of putting it. Like, I'm rooting for Malik Willis. Yeah. By all accounts, he was a great person, a great teammate while he was here. And he has really put in the work to improve as a quarterback and was rewarded with this deal. I'm rooting for him. But, man, there was anybody who thinks it would have happened here, go back and watch when he had to come in for Tannehill in the Ravens game in London. I mean, that was some of the worst quarterbacking I ever saw in the NFL. 9194 makes the point of in the preseason before he got traded, he looked better than Will. That Saints game in the preseason where he connected with Bryce Oliver for a couple touchdowns, I agree. That's probably the best that he looked in a Titans uniform. But at that point, you had committed to Will Levis for that season. Right, and you had brought in a backup. Why am I blanking on who it was that year? Mason Rudolph. Hmm. You had Mason Rudolph in there. You had paid him to come and be the backup. It's similar to the conversation we're having now about Will Levis and why he's going to get traded. It doesn't make sense to keep him around anymore. Give him a fresh start. And
I think with Malik Willis, you can be happy for him and where he is and realize that it was never going to work out here.
Do you think he at some point gets benched this season in Miami?
Maybe. It depends on what they do. So, like, Quinn Ewers is still there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that could be somebody that they want to look at long term. I would say probably not this year, but I would guess that if things are bad this year, they probably look to replace him next offseason. And if things are just okay this year, they're probably drafting somebody who's going to take over for him in year two. I don't see Malik Willis getting through that full contract as the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
You give a starting quarterback $30 million and Malik Willis? Listen to the supporting cast real fast. Malik Washington, Theo Weiss Jr., Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell, Greg Dulcich, Terrence Marshall Jr., Ben Sims. I mean, that's the cash you're going to put around a $30 million quarterback.
Loaded. I mean, they got Achane at least.
Yeah. That team would win the UFL.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. That team would win in the UFL.
It would.
Sadly, they don't get to play any of those games. They don't get like an FCS game on the schedule where they could go play the Dallas Outlaws or something like that.
DC Defenders.
Do you think Jeremiah Love can nail a 4-point conversion in the UFL?
What? Where is the 4-point conversion from?
Point field goal, what, 60 yards?
Yeah, I think 60. We were leaving the studio and we were all in here watching it, and it happened. Like, oh my goodness,
it was electric.
See, I did actually, I was in the airport on Sunday, and I did actually, next to the Masters, they had a UFL game on, and I did like glance over and watch a little bit of it. I can just never get into spring football. The pace of it, like there was a play down the sideline where the wide receiver is running, and it just looked like they were going in slow motion compared to watching even college football.
Maybe I want to put the pads back on. Like, I actually have a chance with these guys. No, absolutely not.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Great calls there from Trey and Adam. 2513 has come up with a title for Trey's show. Trey Time at 10 with special guest TD.
Oh, yes.
Man, I don't know. TD.
That's a lot of alliteration.
Yeah, it would be. It's a lot of T's. Would TD want to be the special guest with Trey?
I think it has to be.
Or do we just like rotate people like Trey, like next man up, but with Trey? And it's like an hour long late night. Trey gets one person from the station every night to come in and do an hour with him.
That would be just pure gold. It really would.
I mean, it would go off the rails really fast. But, you know, it would be entertaining. That's for sure. If Trey is one thing, he is entertaining. 615-737-1025. We got one more hour with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll get back into the Preds. Also, we got Nick Frazier in studio, which means we do have to talk a little NSC as they get ready for a massive game down in Mexico City tonight, late night, 10:30, with a chance to advance to the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. We'll get into much more coming up in the final hour of the show. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1-2-5 The Game.